Ezekiel chapter 13, just as a way of reminder, we're still, these are prophecies given, and I believe, within the time stamps. Remember we talked about different time stamps are given in Ezekiel, and the last time stamp that we had was in the sixth year of his reign. That was at the beginning of the Jerusalem vision. And we know that Ezekiel had was walking around at that time, well, after that time. So it was even after a little bit beyond that that these prophecies took place. And as we'll see here, it just comes and says, and the word of the Lord came. Then the word of the Lord came. And so it's just sequential. It's another prophecy that weren't all given at the same time. But I believe there's no reason not to believe that they're given within that time stamp. And so it would be either the end of the sixth year or the beginning of the seventh year is where we're at right now of the captivity of Jehoiachin. And if you remember last week, well, not last week, 2 weeks ago, when we were in chapter 12, you remember they said, the time's not near. The Lord, it's not going to happen. The vision will cease. And the Lord said, no, it's coming quickly, and it's going to be fulfilled. In chapter 13, though, it's a prophecy against the prophets. And he begins in verse 1, saying, and the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel that prophesy, and say thou unto them that prophesy out of their own hearts, hear ye the word of the Lord. As you look at this chapter, it's clearly broken into three different sections. You have a description of the prophets, and then you have the Lord's answer to what they do. This is what the Lord thinks. This is what the Lord says. And he gives it in one section, then he gives another section with that as well. The first section giving a description is found from verses 1 to 8, and then the first section with the answer is from 9 to 12. And then finally, the last one is from 13 to 16. That's not even the complete part of the chapter, and we'll get to the rest of that later. As you take apart the text, these things are structured, very, very detailed structure. The Hebrews, in Hebrew, there's a lot of parallelisms. We've talked about that, where you lay one thing along another thing, and they're very closely related. And by doing that, you communicate the truth here, you communicate the truth there, but when you add them together, combining it together, it multiplies, really, the truth. If this is true, and if this is true, then all of this is true as well. And you see, it's throughout scriptures. I'm told that there's only four chapters in Isaiah that are not in Hebrew parallelism. Even in the New Testament, it's written in Greek, but they use Hebrew parallelism. Jesus speaks in Hebrew parallelism. The first mention of Hebrew parallelism or used in scripture is Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. And so it's a form of communication that God has chosen. And we should talk about it sometime, and we will. But there, it's filled in here. And so they give you lines like that that are parallel. Then you have these lines, and you have two other lines, and these are parallel. Or you might have phrases that are in parallel. Suffice it to say here, with these three sections, you have the first, we'll call it A, and then the second we'll call B, and the third we'll call B as well, but it's modified. So those are kind of parallel, and then you have A and B, and they go together as well. Maybe we'll look more at that next time when we get further along. There's a prophecy against the prophets, and the prophets of Jerusalem are described. He gives the introduction that we just read. It says, and the word of the Lord came unto me, saying. Now, the word, the conjunction here, and, it's not just a regular conjunction, but it also indicates sequence. We might say, then the word of the Lord came. It would be something you'd say, I did this, then I did this. Not just, I did this and this, because that could happen at the same time. I did this, then that shows sequence. That word, this word shows sequence. as you would say, as you would understand, because as we just said, the message of the Lord was not all at once to Ezekiel. These expressions from the Lord, or let me say Yahyah, they were given to Ezekiel at different times. And there's no reason to believe that they were not given within the timestamps that we talked about a few minutes ago. Also, don't forget that Ezekiel was not able to speak unless the word of the Lord came to him. And that would exist until, I believe it's chapter 24. And he says in verse 2, so then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, I say the word of the Lord, again, the Lord, that is Yahyah. It means he is existing. He's the one who is existing. And that's his name, he says. The word of the Lord, the word of Yahyah, came unto me, saying, says, son of man. That's son of Adam, which just means human, mankind. Son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel that prophesy, and say unto them that prophesy out of their own hearts, hear ye the word of the Lord. So, literally, he says, cause to prophesy unto the prophets of Israel, the ones that are prophesying. And he tells them, you, and then you will say to the prophets, and it's understood the prophets of Israel, the ones prophesying, and he says, from their own heart, from the heart of them. Interesting. The word from tells us the source. The source of their prophecy was their own heart. That's interesting. You know, it's easy to make a message based on what you think. You know, you get stirred up about something. You know, you kind of say, hey, you know, people need to know this. It's easy to make a message that you want to speak. And you get these thoughts in your mind and you say, you know, we need to tell people this. So let me go find some verses. Let me go find some verses that I can put with that. Make it sound good. It's easy to do that when you have something you really want to say. And I've done that. And I repent. I don't want to do that. We shouldn't do that. I mean, the Lord puts things in our hearts, no doubt, that we've gotten from study. And we study the scripture, sure. But it has to be sourced, not what I think is important, not what comes out of me, but from the Lord. Many preachers have a message that they want to speak. They have this hobby horse. They want to tell people something. I want to tell you the way it is, whatever it is. Many preachers do that. And then they go looking for the verses that they can use for their message. Do you see a problem with that? Unless the message was gotten from the Lord, they're simply prophesying from their own heart. And by the way, everyone can practice this. Everyone, not just preachers. When we tell others, not what is sourced in the mind of God, but what's sourced in the way we think about it, right? We just tell them, well, I got to tell them what I think, you know. Donald Trump should do this, you know. We get ideas and we speak from our heart, not from the mind of God. And God help us not to do that. That's what these prophets did. And he says this, unto these prophets, the ones that are, he says in verse 2, that prophesy out of their own hearts, he says this. Here's something I need to tell you. He says, hear ye the word of the Lord. Hear the expression of Yahyah, the one who is existing. Now, this is a command to hear. But when you think about it, this commands, you know, you think, I don't want to be commanded to do anything. But this command is only in their best interest, isn't it? It is. By the way, the Lord's commands are good, and they're in our best interest. We want the commands of the Lord. This command was an opportunity for these people, and God's commands are opportunities for us as well. We don't want to neglect the opportunities of the Lord, and so when we find out what he says, we need to conform. He says this. He says, thus, in verse 3, thus saith the Lord God, woe unto the foolish prophets that follow their own spirit and have seen nothing. This phrase here where he says, thus saith the Lord God. First, just notice, Lord is not caps. It's not capitalized, but God is. And when God is capitalized or Lord, it represents the name of the Lord, Yahyah. And so Lord there just means master. And he says, thus my Lord Yahyah said. And this word thus, it does mean thus, but you can take it down a layer. It means in this manner. And that's kind of interesting because at the beginning of each one of these sections, I told you there were three sections in this part that we'll look at over the next couple weeks. He begins each section with this phrase. In this manner, my Lord Yahyah said. And that's an interesting phrase. It's interesting, especially when you see later, Ezekiel says, he puts as a tag, he says, an utterance of Yahyah. Ezekiel is expressing exactly what God has said. He's quoting the Lord, okay? And that's in stark contrast to what these prophets are doing. Because they're not quoting the Lord. They're prophesying out of their own heart, as we just read. He gives the description beginning in verse 3 where he says, thus saith the Lord God, woe unto the foolish prophets that follow their own spirit and have seen nothing. Woe upon the foolish prophets. Woe. That's hoi. Woe. It's an exclamation of grief or lamentation. And also it draws the attention. You know, it's something you'd say like, oh, you know, it's just an explanation of lamentation. And they're foolish prophets. The word foolish here, I mean, what you think of as foolish or refuse or contemptible. They're the ones, it comes from the idea to flow or to fall down. And that's their destiny, isn't it? Because of their nature of foolishness, they're going to go down. It's going to be worse and worse. And they are prophets and they speak under the, prophets speak under the influence of revelation from a spirit. That's the nature of a prophet. To be under some kind of inspiration. That's the nature of a prophet. Whether it's a false prophet or prophet of the Lord, that's the nature of a prophet. To be under the influence of something else. Yet we know here, these, again, they speak from their own heart. And he says in verse 4, he says, O Israel, thy prophets are like the foxes in the deserts. They're like foxes, or perhaps maybe even jackals. I don't know if you've done any research into the jackals. They're like foxes. I think they put them in the canine family, but they're all over the Africa and the Middle East and that area. And they're scavengers. They're predators. They're detestable. I mean, they're like dogs. I mean, they just go and they'll eat whatever. Not unlike the picture that Jude paints of false teachers. You remember when we went through Jude and he talks about them? The New Testament, the Old Testament, I mean, they're talking about the same kinds of people here. And he paints this picture that they're like foxes or perhaps even these jackals in the deserts or the ruins or the wastes. It was prophesied of Babylon that there would be the foxes there in the wastes there. That's where they would be, these jackals. And he says they're like that. In verse 5, he explains that they didn't protect Israel from moral decay. In verse 5, he says, ye have not gone up into the gaps, neither made up the hedge for the house of Israel to stand in the battle in the day of the Lord. So he says, ye did not go up into the gaps to go up or to arise. They didn't arise into the gaps or the breaches. You know, you think in a wall where there's a hole there, they didn't stand in the gap. You know, we know that phrase. They didn't do that. They didn't arise in the gap. And then what does it say in the next part? The parallel side. It says, neither made up the hedge for the house of Israel to stand in the battle in the day of the Lord. And to make up the hedge, made up the hedge, comes from the words, let me find it in my notes, to wall up. You haven't walled up a wall. It's kind of redundant. You didn't build a wall in the gap, in the hedge. You didn't fix the breach. He says, you didn't do that upon the house of Israel. He talks about in the battle, in the day of the Lord. So what is this talking about when he says you've not gone up into the gaps, you haven't made a hedge for the house of the Lord? Well, it seems to indicate that they should have risen in through the gaps, right? He says you didn't do it. Probably means they should have done it. They didn't wall up the house of Israel. And Israel's moral decay and their sins created a breach. Their sins created a breach, a gap in the wall. If you had a city and you had a gap in your wall, that would allow their destruction, right? Somebody can just come in, your enemy come in to destroy you. And so it was the same. Their moral condition was a breach, and the prophets should have stood in the breach and protected the people, but they didn't. That's what preachers and those who herald the word of God should do. Protect the people from the gaps. What are the gaps? They're the sins that will cause their destruction, the breaches. And so they need to stand in the gap and say, hey, we've got to fix this area. We've got to wall that up. And he says they didn't do that. In fact, they deceived. In verse 6, it says, they have seen vanity and lying divination, saying, the Lord saith, and the Lord hath not sent them. And they have made others to hope that they would confirm the word. Wow. So they saw vanity and divination of a lie. Divination, not a word we use a lot. Dictionary.com says, divination, the practice of attempting to foretell future events or discover hidden knowledge by occult or supernatural means. If you go back to Webster's 1828, which I like to go back to, he says, it's the act of divining, of foretelling future events or discovering things secret or obscure by the aid of superior beings or by other than human means. He adds by saying, the ancient heathen philosophers divided divination into two kinds, natural and artificial. Natural divination was supposed to be effected by a kind of inspiration or divine afflatus. I don't know that word, afflatus. Maybe you do, but pardon me. Artificial divination was affected by certain rites, experiments, or observations, as by sacrifices, cakes, flour, wine, observation of entrails. We'll look at that more later in Ezekiel, where it says Nebuchadnezzar looked into the liver. It's talking about divination. The flight of birds, lots, verses, omens, positions. So there's different kinds, is what Webster's saying. It gives us a little more detail. And so they practiced these things. They saw vanity, emptiness, that which has no substance, and a divination of a lie. Wasn't true. By the way, their messages were attractive too. It didn't say that just yet. We haven't gotten to it. But theirs was a message of peace. Hey, want peace? Their message was a message of peace. The message of false teachers, though, this is true. I'm finding this to be so true. The message of false teachers is people-oriented. It's very you-oriented is what it is. And they'll say things that, you know, are good, right? Hey, don't you want peace? Isn't peace good? Doesn't peace come from God? So we're preaching peace. There's going to be peace. Sounds right. The Bible talks about peace. Let me get you some verses about peace. God's going to give you peace. God wasn't going to give them peace. You see, they didn't know the mind of the Lord. But people can use scripture, and they can use things that sound good, and that things that we want, and they guide them astray. The message of false teachers will be people-oriented, as if God loves you. Well, it's true God loves you, but that's, they tell people, God loves you. Here is how the Lord will help you. Here are some steps to a better life. You read a book, you look at the television, or you listen to any of these bigger churches. These are their messages, how you can have your best life. This is not from God. It's all self-oriented. This is how you can do better. Here's some ways to, you know, enhance your life. Here's some ways that you can, you know, enhance your marriage. Enhance this, enhance that. Sounds good, right? Want to have good marriage? It's all false. It's lies. They're lies. And it's not, it's hard because you think, well, but we should have good marriages. We should have this. We should have. Yeah, but they're preaching and teaching lies. See, they can use terms and principles from the scripture, but they pervert, here it is, the design of God. Wow, they pervert the design of God. And so that it shows us that you need to know more than just the words of scripture, right? We know verses. Yeah, I know all sorts of verses. And you need to know God, and you need to know His character. You need to know His design. So many people know the words. They've been taught a way of thinking about these words. But when someone comes along and gives another twist on those things, seems to make sense, is good, yeah, well, okay. We could easily be guided gently down the corridors of lies and misrepresentations of God. So many people are. And it sounds like, well, but they preach the Bible, you know, and they go in the Bible and they preach all these things. And yeah, I mean, love, joy, peace, all that's good, right? And, you know, God does want us to be happy, right? Of course. But that's one reason why we must know Him as He's revealed Himself, so we can spot easily and say, that doesn't line up with the character of God. God doesn't just say we can just live how we want to live and He's going to bless us. But that's what the prophets were preaching. We've already looked at some of the wickedness going on, the idol worship, the idols that they set up, and, oh, there's going to be peace. Oh, well, the Bible says that a lawgiver will not cease from Judah, so we're going to be safe. The Bible says it, so we're okay, you know. I'm preaching the Bible. That's not what God said. They did not preach what God said and not what He had designed. And He goes on to say in verse 6, saying, the Lord saith, literally saying, an utterance of Yahya. They say, this is an utterance from Yahya. And it says, and Yahya sent them not. Wow. That ought to wake me up. Hope it wakes you up. They say, God said this. Let me teach you some things from the scriptures today. But He sent them not. It shows me that there are people that do that. They do. And they'll say, this is the word of God. This is the teaching from God. This is what God says. And God says, I didn't send them. Those in this class must be a part of the ones mentioned, I believe, in Matthew chapter 7, 21 through 23. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. It says, he that doeth the will of my Father. You know, the Lord says, this is the work of my Father, that you believe on the Son. These false prophets. So yeah, they're saying, this is the word of the Lord, and God didn't send them. They speak what comes from their own heart, and they create false expectations. Now, this is the danger. They're creating false expectations. You know, oh, hey, bring in your seed gift. You bring in your seed gift today, and that's going to blossom, and God's going to bless you tenfold, right? So just donate to our ministry, and you wait and see. God will give you 10 times back. You know, lies. Lies, and they create false expectations. It says in the end of verse 6, it says, and they have made others to hope that they would confirm the word. literally, they caused waiting to confirming of an expression of the word, as it says there. So they put false hope in people, and what a horrible thing to do. But especially, can you think of the context we're in? Put a false hope in the minds of these people? Especially when they think they'll be delivered. And you tell them they're going to be delivered, and they're not. Wow. Yet false religion has given many false hope. It does. And yes, even many Baptists who preach what we call easy believism. given false hope. That's wicked. That's wicked. We got to be careful. I have misrepresented the gospel in my time, in my life. But never again. Lord, help us to never misrepresent what he said. We've got to be careful. We don't want to misrepresent, especially to give them a false sense of security that they'll be delivered and then they won't be. That's what the prophets were doing here. Oh, peace, peace. It'll be fine. You're doing okay. Everything's going to turn out good. And it won't. And in verse 7, he says, have you not seen a vain vision? And have you not spoken a lying divination? Whereas ye say, the Lord saith it, albeit I have not spoken. So aren't their lies evident? Again, he uses that term, saying, oh, an utterance of the Lord. But I didn't say that. I didn't express that. This is the first red flag, right? You have two individuals that say their message is from the Lord, and then they proceed to say two different things. Obviously a red flag. If you know anything about the Lord, you know he doesn't do that. He doesn't give conflicting messages. Now, they both could be wrong, but they can't both be right. And Israel was in this very situation. They had something to consider. They had Ezekiel. They had Jeremiah, maybe others that we don't know about. They're saying this. And then you have all these other prophets saying this. Two different messages. They're in the situation. Red flags should come up saying, okay, well, now we've got to make a decision. What's true? What's not true? Who's speaking the truth? Maybe these could quote some scripture like we talked about. The scepter will not depart from Judah. See, we're not going to be taken by Nebuchadnezzar. See, we got these verses here we could look at. And all these things, they could do it. And they did do it. We read it, I think it was chapter 12. But they don't know. But these prophets over here, they're not expressing, or they don't even know, the mind of the Lord. And who he is. Yeah, you can quote scripture, but you don't know the Lord. You're saying something that's contrary to him. To come to this conclusion, they had to ignore the whole intent of Scripture. People have to take, these little parts and say, this is what's important. But you can't do that. You can't do that. You got to take the whole of Scripture. And you have to take out his design, his purpose, his character, his nature. And it has to agree with it. If it disagrees with it, it's garbage. It's a misrepresentation. It's a lie. I think of, it's interesting how he talks about, as we looked in verse 3, where he says, thus saith the Lord God, in this manner my Lord said, and he also says, an utterance of Yahweh, the very words of God. It's interesting to me because some people, they cut the Bible up into parts. I was just learning about some Anabaptists who... They really stress the words of Jesus. The words of Jesus are the most important. If you have any area of conflict, anything that might seem difficult, it almost seems like a contradiction, they'll take the words of Jesus first, and then they'll take the other scriptures and make it fit what Jesus is saying. The red letters are more important than any of the other letters. Now, it sounds good, but it's not true. I mean, you don't understand who Jesus is. Jesus is Yahweh. And he said, this is an utterance of the Lord. These are his words. They're all his words. The old and the new, they're equally important. Some people say, well, no, this part of the scripture is more important. This isn't that important. No, it's all important. It's all equally valuable. You've got to have it all. You need it all. That's why the Lord gave it all. He doesn't waste. He doesn't give us, well, I'll just throw that in just for kicks. No. That's not the character of God to do that. He gave us this because it's perfect. It's what we need. So think about it. They were worshiping idols. They were weeping for false gods. They set up images, even in the temple complex. They worshiped the sun. They were lewd. They were liars. They took advantage of others. There's so many other things that could be mentioned. And should they expect peace? Should they expect God's blessing? Should they expect God to hear their prayers? Can I say it this way? Are they that dumb? Are they that foolish? And the answer is, man is, yes, because, well, I want to keep doing what I'm doing and justify it. Well, they said it was okay, you know, yeah. It'll be okay, I can keep going my way and keep satisfying my flesh. And, you know, there'll be peace, it'll be all right, everything will be good. We got scripture that says we'll be okay. They don't know the mind of God, and God is going to judge them by the scripture. And yet many are led astray, not knowing God. So many people, you know, and what do? We have to be light in this dark, dark world, yes, but in dark churches too, that don't know the mind of God. It's sad. Many preachers, they don't know the mind of God. And it's because they stop seeking. Because the Lord says, if you're seeking, you'll be finding. But once you stop seeking and you just start making messages or whatever it is, you've stopped. You've stopped. We need the mind of God. We all do. Pray for each other. Pray for me that we would keep seeking and that we'd keep finding and that we'd be able to express it to others, to help others see our God, who He is, because it's really good. I mean, if... You know, there's the old way of thinking. You kind of think, well, God's kind of harsh. The Old Testament, it was kind of mean. New Testament's all love and peace. It's not right. It's not representing God right. Dear Lord, I thank you for your word. Thank you for what you've given to us by your servant Ezekiel. And I pray, Lord, it's easy to maybe point fingers at other people. I pray, Lord, you'd help us to be careful, Lord, not to speak something and misrepresent you, especially me as I'm behind the pulpit representing you through the word, but each of us as we talk with others. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us and you'd have mercy, you'd give us grace as we're growing, Lord, and we're trying to conform. We're not there yet. And I pray for these others. The churches around, I believe they know you, they've trusted in you, but they don't know you as you've revealed yourself, perhaps. And I pray, Lord, that you'd work and use these people. Please bless the rest of the service tonight, we pray. Amen.